I love a parade, don't you? It reminds me when I was growing up as a little boy, the Christmas parades in my hometown, and of course Santa would be there, but I also remember on television at Thanksgiving, and I can remember who was the MC a lot of times was Captain Kangaroo and Mr. Green Jeans. Now you can tell how far back I go on that one, you know, predates Mr. Rogers even. But I love a parade, the anticipation of the bands and the floats and the drill teams and the Shriners on their motor scooters. There's always a lot of fun. Everybody, when I lived up in Kentucky there, the house I lived in next to the church was right on the main street. So they, every September, they would have what they call Country Ham Days, and it was a big parade. Now, it was usually the same thing year after year, and then they'd have 300 tractors in it, too. One was Pepto-Bismol Pink, I can remember that. But it was not just the parade, but it was the crowds who would come. And people would make reservations to sit on my front porch because it was just a bird's eye view of everything. And I really enjoyed it. I'd have chairs out there for people, church people, too. Church people would come by. And it was really an enjoyable time. So I've always loved parades. But in a parade, I think suspense and excitement is always around the next corner because you look down the street and say, now what is that coming down through there? Sometimes you really don't know, but you know life itself is like a parade. We never quite know what's coming next, although we cannot determine what is coming, we can control what our attitude toward whatever it is will be. Think about that. Your attitude is one of the few things you can control. And an attitude is a choice. If attitude was not a choice, we could not believe in God because having a bad or poor attitude can destroy relationships and will hurt us in the long run. Think about that. What is your attitude toward God this morning? That will make a difference. And so we can see that in attitude, there's a lot to be thought about through that. Dr. Chuck Swindoll, president of the Dallas Theological Seminary, had this to say about attitude. The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude. Attitude to me is more than money, circumstances, failures, more than successes or whatever other people may think about us. It will make or break a company, church, or even even a home. It can break that too. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding which attitude is embraced. Remember that life is 10% what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. We are in charge of our attitudes. Palm Sunday is a time to examine negative attitudes among ourselves as well as toward God. In a way, Palm Sunday is about a huge parade coming into town with one major float as its main attraction. Now, the Lord had less than 1 week to live, and he decided to reveal publicly about being the long-awaited Messiah, which God's people had been waiting for centuries. We know that because in the book of Isaiah, the minor prophet, it's the next to the last book of the Old Testament. It had been written 500 years previously about a king who would come into Jerusalem riding a donkey. Well, the time had finally arrived, and the Lord was ready to take center stage. Christ told the people that God was about ready to do something great. Suppose we had been there. Suppose we had been one of his disciples. Would we have become upset and envious that Christ had chosen two other disciples to get him that donkey? Possibly because the attitude of ambition always seems to lurk when power and popularity have anything to do with it. We tend to envy those who have talents and gifts different than ours, but our own strengths may be in other areas that are just as important. Not all of us will be in the spotlight, but unless some people are the center of attention, they won't participate with their God-given talents. Think about that. What are your God-given talents that you do? Can you sing? Can you join the choir? Can you teach? Can you cook? It's a variety of things. God has gifted us to do certain things. God may have not gifted us to sing, but yet God may have gifted us to be a greeter or an usher or whatever it may be. God does this because God can use all of us. Don't ever think you're useless in the presence of God. We are all, if we are open, and that's a choice, we can serve God with what God has gifted us. That is, if we will only agree to do it, yield to God to do it. So, getting back to this about the ride through Jerusalem coming up, at the heart of Palm Sunday is the Lord's desire to bring peace into our lives. Can you buy peace? Can you get a loan or a mortgage for peace? No. Peace is an inward thing. And that is what we should seek from God, is an inner peace. Because if you don't have an inner peace about you, you're going to be miserable. Now, we'll have physical aches and pains and miseries. But there's an inner peace which is spiritual and even mental to a degree. Isn't it much better to have inner peace than it is to have a lot of material items? I believe it is. Because the inner peace will give you a stability that no amount of money or material items can ever replace. We all hope to find peace and contentment, but God is saying until our attitude is adjusted, we won't have peace as we would desire. As the parade began in Jerusalem, different attitudes started to manifest themselves. The first attitude was those who wanted to immediately offer the Lord the best they owned. They took off their outer garments and placed them on the pathway to form a royal carpet for the animals to walk on. They were very little concerned about that their clothes might become filthy or not even retrieved. I don't know if I'd want to wear clothes after some donkeys walked on it, to tell you the truth, but that's what they did. They placed their outer garments on the roadway. Probably it was just a dusty road there on the outskirts of Jerusalem where the parade had begun. But their focus was on going all out to honor Christ. Do we have that attitude when it comes to serving God? We say to God that He can count on us to give whatever we have without thinking about it. This was the group that gave above and beyond what was expected. They were thoroughly loyal to the Savior. There was another group with a different attitude at the parade that day. It was an attitude of giving something good, even if it wasn't the best they could give. They kept their coats and clothing on, but were willing to go and cut down the palm branches to lay them down as means of honoring and respecting Christ. This is the position of some people in the church today. They're doing a pretty good job and investing themselves in the work of God, but they haven't decided that all they own truly belongs to Him. They're a little on the reluctant side. They're still not convinced that doing things God's way is the best way to handle their lives. There was a third party present that day who never actually became a part of the parade. They stood alongside the road and cheered lethargically. They were willing to take notice of Christ and to even give Him an applause or a hand clap, but were too concerned about other matters to get involved. As soon as Christ passed them by, they went on about their merry way as people do once the parade is passed. These people claim to know Christ, but are not committed to any church, nor do they seek to live their lives that God has called them to do. Their attitude is, well, the Lord knows my heart. I'd like to have a dollar for every time I've heard people say that. The Lord knows my heart. Well, the Lord does know your heart. But that's not an excuse for staying away from church. The Lord does know our hearts, and what God has to say about our hearts should cause us to rethink our lack of commitment to Him. There were thousands of people in Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday because it was Passover season. Many came from as far away as from Cyprus, from all the way into the Tigris and Euphrates area, valley, north Galilee, all over from Egypt. They were everywhere. And one of the reasons that they could see Christ was there are hills in the Jerusalem area, and many of them were up on the upper levels, and they could see the parade forming down on the roadway they were going. So people all over knew that here comes Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, coming into Jerusalem. And it was well documented about that. Palm Sunday was the only time in Christ's earthly life that he permitted the people to declare him king and to openly receive their praise and worship as a crowd. There was a fourth attitude at the parade. When it was obvious that Christ was the focus of it all, it was those religious, self-righteous leaders who really had a lot to lose politically. If the Romans thought the Lord was attempting to become king, because they would sense a revolution, and they would put an end, declare martial law, and they would end up banning everything. And see, the religious leaders, the Sanhedrin, which composed of the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the scribes, were in cahoots with the authorities. They were like what we would have called during World War II in Norway, Quislings. Quisling was a Norwegian who actually was a traitor and worked with the Nazis. And so these people were very much in the pockets of Rome. They were making kickbacks, all this stuff, but they did not want their status quo to get shaken to the roots. And this was what they thought would happen. I really think, personally, the Romans really didn't give a flying leap about what was going on as long as peace and order was maintained. They didn't care about this prophet from Galilee named Jesus Christ. They had their own worries to contend about. But it was the religious leaders who were ones really trembling in their sandals because they were afraid their boat was going to be rocking and rolling. And the religious leaders had already wanted to get rid of Christ. And Palm Sunday was just too much for them. It was, and they told Christ, rebuke the crowd. Those educated religious leaders knew that the words the people were shouting were only to apply to the Son of God and to the religious people, the rulers, the Pharisees, particularly in Sadducees. They knew that this could not be the Son of God coming into Jerusalem. What they wanted Christ to do was to tell the people that he wasn't the Messiah. However, the Lord could not deny who he was despite their attitudes. And there comes attitude again of jealousy, hostility, and hatred toward him. Even the religious leaders could have silenced that silenced the people. They couldn't have silenced them that day. He was still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They had no intention of allowing him to carry this thing any further, but they couldn't do a thing about it at that moment because if they'd have tried, the crowds would have torn them apart. But he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You remember in the Mr. Handel's Messiah that premiered in Dublin in 1742, but made his second appearance in London in 1743 by order of His Majesty George II. And that when the Messiah chorus, of the Hallelujah chorus, I should say, sang, and it said, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. King George II, who was a very humble person, looked around and he noticed something, that they were worshiping the King of Kings, Lord Jesus Christ. He stood up because he realized and he knew he was not the King of Kings. And that's where that custom started. When you're at the Messiah sometime, remember, King George II was the one who facilitated that custom of doing such a thing. I was thinking about, too bad his grandson, King George III, didn't have the humility, or we'd still be part of the British Empire today. But this is the thing. Do we recognize him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Or do we take the Pharisaic attitude? A lot of people do today. They would not admit it. A lot of people wouldn't even know who I'm talking about when it comes to the Pharisees. But it's true. So what attitude does God seek to introduce to us today? Is our attitude one where we have completely sold out to God? Well, why not today try to love God in the way God loves you? And I'm going to tell you what. You may say, that's impossible. No, it's not. Just think, if you have the grace of God in you, you can return that love to God. It's well worth staying until the parade is finished. Let us pray. O Lord, on this Palm Sunday, when things were at a festive high in Jerusalem, let us remember 2,000 years later that we still adhere to the spirit of Palm Sunday. Let the world know that your Son, Jesus Christ, is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Help us, O Lord, to live that every day in our attitude. When our attitude stinks, O Lord, come to our rescue. Help us out to get on the right track, to be empowered with the Holy Spirit. Help and guide and lead us always through Christ our Lord. Amen.